Welcome back, Mighty Vandals, to Tubbs at the Club, the Idaho Vandals affiliate on the Big Sky Podcast Network. I do want to quickly preface this show. We are not going to be talking Idaho volleyball today, so if you're here for that, I do encourage you to stick around. But we will have volleyball updates probably coming next week. It might get pushed a little bit farther. We will have volleyball updates for you in a future episode, most likely next week. This week, I'm joined with Martin and Patty. We're talking Vandal football, baby. So, Martin, how's it going down in Moscow?
It's going good. I wish my computer was working, but still, money's money and got to wait for some stuff as per usual. But good to be back talking Vandal football with the new signings that were the new early enrollees that were announced a couple weeks ago. And signing in the February signing day is just around the corner.
And last but not least,
oh, Vandals.
Oh, God. It's, there we go. Starting it off hot. Patrick Frakes. Patty, how we doing, man?
Doing all right. Finishing up, I believe, week two of classes from the new semester, week three. Doing all right. Just kind of hanging out here.
Fair enough. Well, guys, let's just jump right into it. Again, we're talking Vandal football. 15 ads at the semester. Technically incorrect there. If you go to Vandal, govandals.com, you'll see there's an article up. Vandal football adds 15 at semester, including 7 transfers. But there's one guy that showed up after that. I think we're going to end the show with him to make it a grand total of 16. We're going to jump in. Let's start off with the gray shirts, guys. These guys joined the team at semester. They were announced as part of the 2023 recruiting class. We're going to rip the Band-Aid right off. We're going to go with Wyatt Gordon from Washington. He's a defensive back. I don't even want to try to say Puyallup because people ripped me.
That was right correct.
Here. So, see, I can do it. It just doesn't come very frequently. So, Martin, what do we know about Wyatt Gordon?
Wyatt Gordon, I believe, is a safety, like you, Dallas said, a safety out of Puyallup, Washington, went to Puyallup High School. I believe teammates with Jordan Dwyer as well. He he is kind of like, when I was watching his tape, I can't remember what we said last signing day, Dallas, when we did this video, but I do remember, like, I kind of rewatching his tape now, getting my kind of refresher. He does kind of remind me of the Tommy McCormick type, just kind of guns the head to the ball and just tackle people. Hey, look, he's sacking a Eastern signee right there. But he, like, I think as we've noticed in the videos, he does play linebacker, but I think, believe in on the roster, he is listed as a DB or a safety. I can't remember the exact detail.
He is officially listed as a DB. Patty, your thoughts as we've got the tape. Again, for those of you just listening to the audio, we do this is going to be a special episode where we have a bunch of video. I encourage you to go watch it on YouTube, as we do have Wyatt Gordon's senior season highlights running. So, Patty, your thoughts on Wyatt Gordon?
I really like his tape. Him being a gray shirt, you typically don't expect a bunch of big plays and a guy that kind of wows you on the tape, but I really like his tape. He played kind of their will linebacker down in Puyallup, or I guess I should say up in Puyallup. He does a good job. He played a little bit of safety as well, it looks like, here on the tape. Again, this is a guy that I haven't gotten to watch as much tape as many of the guys, being a gray shirt and late announced. But he looks like he plays the position very well. I'm a little bit surprised that he's announcing as a DB. I know he's listed as, I think he's listed at 5'11", 175, so a little small for a linebacker, but I kind of wonder if he would be a guy that was kind of like a Matthias Bertram that goes between, that Sam Backer/Nickelback and a safety. Because like on tape, he looks fast enough, but he doesn't have like eye popping speed like your average safety does. So, but he has a lot of physicality and kind of hits dudes like a truck. So, I mean, I'd like to see him at that Sam spot, but we'll just kind of see how his career unfolds.
Yeah, especially his football moves, towards a lot of 5 DBs on the field. Feels like he could be kind of that fifth DB that's, hybrid linebacker, hybrid safety, hybrid slot nickel. Like it does, looking at his tape, feels like, hey, that's probably about right for him, just especially based on the size. But you do see a lot of linebacker here on the tape. Moving forward to our next gray shirt, guys. I apologize if there are any players listening to this and I butcher your name. Please let us know in the comment section. Let us know on Twitter. Just give us a shout if I screw this up. Ty Hillinger from Sugar City, Idaho.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't remember. We didn't talk too much about him in the last signing day video that we did. I I like just kind of just going off his tape. The dude's athletic and can make plays. I think they have him listed as a defensive back, which is good. Another can always use thumper, hard hitting safeties. But I this is one where I didn't have much just based off of like the quick research and like the 1 minute video that we saw on YouTube from their like 2023 signing day.
Yeah, he looks like a, you know, solid athlete. He played safety on defense in high school, so I'd assume that's kind of where they're looking to put him on defense. Looks good. He makes plays. He makes some big-time hits down the field. I believe I saw somewhere he had 7 picks his senior year on a – they at least played in the state championship his senior year, I believe. You know, good program. It's always, you know, players from good programs always tend to work out, have good work ethics and stuff like that. Yeah, don't have a ton more to say about him. He had pretty limited film. I couldn't find a huddle for him. So all the film he really had was him on Twitter. And there's a few clips of him playing receiver and a few clips of him playing safety, but not a ton. But he looks like a guy that can develop and do solid player.
Yeah, and I want to make a quick correction here. Ty Herlinger is the name I read off of the Vandal football release, which says Hillinger. Then if you watch the video and go back to the original tweet about him, it's Ty Herlinger. So sorry about that, Ty. Those are the two gray shirts, guys. So now we're moving on. Let's talk about the true freshman. I meant to start this with the beginning of the show. The previously announced true freshman. I meant to start this off, but again, we've already gone off the rails because it's amateur hour. No Grandpa Brian to keep us in line. So let's first hit, again, anybody that wants a little bit more about these next four names, Martin and Patty have already recorded videos. You can see them on our YouTube channel. I've got the playlist up here, youtube.com/tubsattheclub. We've got it broken out by special teams, DBs, linebackers, edges, offensive line, tight ends, skill positions. Like, there's a bunch of playlists broken out for these guys. Well, we're going to get to the big nasties first. This is a name a lot of people, I think, might be familiar with. Nathan Knappick, offensive lineman from Kennewick, Washington, who has enrolled in classes to start the spring semester.
I just was excited to get another Knappick on the team. When I saw he committed early, I was kind of, I'm not going to lie, a little doom and gloom. Like, oh, he might decommit just because it's like highly rated recruits don't usually commit to Idaho that early in the process. If they do, they get souped up by another school pretty later on in the process. I loved his tape. I think he could probably start it, come in and play right away at right tack, kind of push Charlie Vleem to maybe vibe for that starting right tackle spot early on in his career. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to watch him in spring ball this year.
Yeah, me too. I love Knappick's tape. The first time I watched it, I went, oh, that might be our next starting right tackle. I've seen him in person a couple times being down here in Moscow. The dude is very large for being, I think he was listed at like 265. He's a large 265. Just seeing him next to his brother, he's freaking huge. So, and the dude that what gets me excited about his tape is he can move. He's very athletic. And I think he's going to be able to be a very versatile lineman for us as he puts on more weight and gets stronger. I'm really excited for Nathan Knappick. I think he's a dude that has a pretty good shot to compete for the starting job next fall, especially because he's that early enrollee and gets an extra semester on the rest of those freshmen that were announced because, guys, this lineman class was stacked. And so there's a lot of guys that have starting potential. Getting him that extra semester ahead of those guys, I think, cements him as the favorite of these freshman linemen to potentially snag a starting spot next year.
Yeah, you see what Aiden obviously did in his freshman year, being one of the best linemen on the team, just as a true freshman, starting what every game, playing almost every snap, it felt like. Nathan Knappick listed at 6'7", 245. I'm going to guess that's a misprint. There's even just looking at the picture, I don't know if 245 is quite what I'd say. But Tom Kendall in the comment section, Knappick was a staple of the line of scrimmage for Kennewick High School. He was named first team all conference on the offensive line in his junior and senior seasons. He was also named the lineman of the year after Kennewick won the 3A championship in 2021. So kids got a whole bunch of high school accolades. And again, like you said, Patty, getting him in here early, he's got to be the leader in the clubhouse to steal a spot, as we expect to see a lot of those, you know, those ec recruits coming in and taking jobs. Feels like he's probably a guy that's going to come in and take somebody's job. Which, you know, is always unfortunate for the guy who might lose a spot, but man, when you look at what the Kanapics do, it makes sense to put both of them on the line. There's Capdan58 saying, Kanapic Bros anchoring our future natty winning offensive line. Hope to see that. Love that energy, Dan. All right, guys. Next one, Diesel Wilkinson from my old stomping grounds of Spokane, Washington.
Patty, I'll let you take this one. I don't remember too much. I just remember kind of liking him. I know when Patty and I were talking, we kind of said like we didn't know where exactly he was going to pay, and then he politely did say in the video, he responded to his stream and saying like, hey, I'll play wherever they want me to play. And I do well damn appreciate that.
Yeah. He was one that I think he was announced as a DB, and we're looking at his tape and we're like, there's like hardly any defensive tape. I don't know what he's going to do. And then he kind of responded to us in the comments on Twitter, politely correcting us and telling us, he's not limited to defense. He was announced as a DB, but he's not limited to defense. The dude's an athletic freak. Definitely excited to see where he goes, because, you know, his high school tape, he looked like a really like athletic kid, but not like very polished in any one spot. He played a lot of receiver in high school, made a ton of plays, but, you know, I don't know exactly what that means for his role at Idaho, but very athletic dude, seems to have a really nice work ethic. I've seen him at a couple of the Vandal games, basketball and women's and men's basketball games. You know, seems to be trying to get ingrained in the community, and he's relatively present on social media as well. He's a fun follow for Vandal fans, but very athletic. I'm assuming he'll be a safety, potentially like a nickelback type guy. He's, you know, super fast, super athletic. I've said that a million times already in this short couple seconds, but yeah, really excited to see what he develops into.
Next, we're going to stay here in the Pacific Northwest. Owen Forsman, kicker and punter from Rathdrum, Idaho.
I appreciate kickers that can do it all, do kickers and punting. I know the last kicker we had from Rathdrum, Idaho, turned up doing pretty good in Cade Coffrey. And I liked him then, so I'm all excited for another do-it-all kicker punter for us.
Yeah, and funny note for anyone that is a Eastern hater, Owen Forsmith did attend one of Seth Harrison's kicking camps. Shout out Seth Harrison. He doesn't like the Kibbe Dome, so we'll see how that ends up, but how that works out. But yeah, dude looks like he has a cannon of a leg. If I'm remembering right, he's a lefty. Is he a lefty kicker? I can't remember. I thought he was.
I believe he is.
Yeah, because sometimes a lot of coaches like to bring in lefty punters, because when you're catching that punt, it's spinning the way you're not used to it spinning, and sometimes the ball will drift a different way and it kind of throws off returners. So just an interesting tidbit. Makes me wonder if he's more of a punter candidate than a place kicker, but he has the leg to do both.
Yeah, the listing on the website is personal best field goal 49 yards in high school. Was Idaho 4A first team in 2022 and 2023, named Inland Empire all team in 21, 22, and 23. So one of the best kickers around here. Also had a 4.38 GPA and was in the National Honor Society for 4 years. So just a fantastic kid to have as a Vandal. So with that said, guys, we take it to the final of the early enrollee freshman, Titus Ringor from lovely Hawaii.
This is what I was, I try not to get too excited about recruits, but just getting someone of his size and his ability to move and make plays. Like I was like, kind of like, holy crap, how did Idaho get someone like that to come to Idaho? But man, I fell in love with this tape early on, and I think he could be a candidate to play early, could be a candidate to get a considerable playing time as a freshman.
Yep. I agree. First watch of his tape, it was another one of those oh shit moments, like Nathan Kanapic, like, oh, this guy can play. He's huge and he moves extremely well for a defensive tackle. I'm assuming he's going to play primarily defensive tackle at Idaho in the 4-2-5, probably that 3 technique. He also, on his team, they would line him up as an edge rusher in like passing downs. The dude moves so quick that they line him up as like a 9 technique edge rusher, and the dude just speed rushed his way around big offensive tackles, and he's in a good league in Hawaii. Like there's a ton of talent out there, good old linemen. So it was really impressive to see, as Tom Kendall said in the comment section, 6'3", 276 coming out of high school. He's got the size to play right away. I expect to see him as in 2024. I'm really excited to see what he looks like in camp. Definitely someone that I'm going to keep my eye on, because I think he has a chance to be really, really, really good.
Yeah, I do know the other kind of quick ad thing. Like when Coach David Losey was talking, was doing his video, they I believe he did call him Tito too. So anybody with a nickname like that, I am excited for.
And it fits on a kid that's 6'3", 276 coming out of high school. Really feels like, Vandals hit really well on Dallas Ofolava last year. Feels like Titus might be another one of those kinds. Or again, Tito, if we're going to go with Tito, I'm all in on Tito. Feels like Tito might look at that just based on the size and again, what we know about him so far. So that takes us, guys, to the last couple freshmen here that have been recruited and committed in. Crew Clark from Sugar City, Idaho, former Weber State commit, then went on a 2-year mission for his church and has now decided to come to the dark side and is going to be enrolled as a Vandal. Our thoughts, guys, on Crew Clark.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to pretend like I know too much about him. For someone that's been away from the game for a little bit, like, he looks athletic and I think he'd probably play the part. Do I expect him to probably play right away? Probably not, just based off of like who's ahead of him and what position he, I think you believe he was listed at wide receiver, but I'm sure he can probably play right away, play in a year or two's time, getting that little more time under his belt and getting the time to develop and get some more weight on him.
Yep, agreed. He doesn't have the like eye-popping crazy tape that some of the other receiver commits have, but he has some really incredible ball skills, and as you can see, he's a returning threat, as you can see on tape on YouTube here. If you are watching, he looks talented. He's a guy that's gonna have to develop into and earn a starting spot in a couple of years here, but we'll see what he ends up developing into. I think he has a relatively high ceiling.
And his NFL blood, his dad kicked for the University of Houston and the Oakland Raiders. So, always good to get kids that have, again, family of football right there. Moving on, Calvin Macy from Lake Oswego, Oregon, coming to Moscow after a semester at a prep school. He was originally committed to Air Force before becoming a Vandal.
I'm excited. I know I was kind of remembering. Well, Calvin Macy, I'm excited for him. I kind of watched his tape, and dude can play. Yeah, I think he's one of those you'll probably see in those four games, and try and get him experience. They probably try and redshirt him. I know they have listed as a linebacker, and they have highlight tape right now as him as a running back. That dude is running away from players and is still making plays. He can run downfield and hit you. I think he could play a little more. He could probably play as a freshman, but depend on how spring ball turns out. And I know they did offer him out of high school but chose to go Air Force for the semester, but hey, things change. We're happy to have him as a Vandal now.
He's one of the guys that I didn't get to see a ton of tape, but from the tape I did see, he looks like a pretty fundamentally sound linebacker, which is always good to see as a dude from that or pays attention to Eastern Washington football, where discipline linebackers has been a problem for years now. Discipline linebacker, I don't know if he's the most athletic freak in the world, but he looks really solid. He looks like he can hit hard. And, I like that he can go make tackles up at the line of scrimmage, even on plays out to the edge. I believe, isn't Lake Oswego where the Lane brothers came from as well?
Yep, that is correct.
Yeah, correct. So, good program. It's always nice to get kids from good programs. Work ethic, as I mentioned earlier. But, we'll see where his career goes.
I think in this video, he's big. Dallas, can you go back to 10 seconds?
10 seconds. Let's see if we can do this correctly. Producing in public.
Go a little more. I believe if that is right, he is chasing down a form now Vandal Mark Hamper, and that Vandal clip in this clip as well. Like, he is able to go across the field and just go good stop guys, kind of like the maybe not as fast as DK Metcalf tackling down Buda Baker, but he's able to switch directions and go up, get make the play from the other side of the field.
Yeah, for,
you got a pretty good chance of getting a Vandal with that West Linn team because two of them committed, the two, so they're starting tight end, and one of their starting receivers committed in this class. Hamper, who was one of their starters last year, committed in last year's class. So you got a pretty good chance to get the right West Linn line there.
Regardless, pretty cool to see a Vandal tracking down another Vandal. Hey, that's talent out there. The more the merrier. I've been throwing a whole bunch of curveballs to Martin and Patty, guys, because we had a list of how we were going to do this in order, and then I just completely blew right through it and have been throwing all sorts of curveballs. So we're going to loop back around to who I was supposed to call next. This one's an interesting one, guys. Cruz Hepburn, who was actually committed to Idaho before, but then went to play baseball at LCSC last year before now changing his mind. He's coming back to play football for the Vandals.
I'm excited. I kind of saw I can't remember the exact wording I said for the signing day, but like I think I was excited just because he can play both ways. He's playing both ways, and now he's a multi-sport athlete as well. Like the dude obviously is an athlete, so nothing to judge against him there. I'm kind of hoping that I don't expect him to play right away. Probably not a name. He might see him make a play or two, but I don't see him making the start right away, but that's just me. What do I know? I've been wrong before and made wrong projections about our recruits before, so I tend to stay away from that stuff now.
Yep, and as Tom Kendall is saying in the comment section here, he is Lewiston High School's all-time leading rusher. He was a three-time 1,000-plus yard rusher in high school, which is ridiculous. 1,000 yards as a sophomore is insane. He originally committed to Idaho, as you said, and then he ended up going to Lewis Clark State to play baseball. He was a pretty good baseball player. He didn't play a ton, but he had a 308 average, which is, I mean, that's pretty good for, you know, college baseball. But from most of his film is playing running back. When you're your school's all-time leading rusher, you probably are going to put more highlights of running back on tape anyways, but he looks like a physical force on defense. He's a dude that can hit really hard. If I'm remembering right, he played kind of like a safety role a lot in high school, and he's going to be coming down and playing more in the box at Idaho. He has the size to be a good linebacker, and it looks like he has the speed to be a good linebacker, but a lot of being a good linebacker is being smart. So we'll see how he ends up developing there. He's a consistent tackler in high school, and he has the frame to be a good mic backer in Idaho's 4-2-5. So we'll see how he develops. Again, he's one that I don't know where to project him necessarily, because I believe he has 3 years of eligibility plus a redshirt year because he spent the year at NAIA. But yeah, I don't really know what to expect from him. He's going to be a guy that we just have to see play against D1 talent, and then we'll have a better projection. But yeah, we'll see where he goes.
Yeah, you know, always good to, in the comment section, Captain 15, always good to have a local that can put a few butts in the seats. Absolutely nice to have the local kid connection. Hopefully he gets a little bit more of a fair shot than maybe Colton Richardson did. But, you know, I don't think we're going to run into an issue where Jackson Eck gets played over Cruz Hepburn just because of his name. I'm assuming it's going to happen on talent. We have all seen what Jackson Eck did in the last year. Assume he's going to be locking down a linebacker spot for the next couple of years. But I would sure think if Cruz can play, he's certainly going to get a bunch of shots to play. With that said, gentlemen, that takes us through all of the freshmen. If I didn't screw anything up. So Martin and Patty, you guys are the ones who know this better than I do. I didn't screw anything else up, right? That's all the freshmen we got through it. We didn't get through in order, but we got through everybody. Perfect. So that leaves us to the highlight of the show when I get to do a little bit of talking, because I'm here to tell you guys about Hughes River Expeditions. If you are looking for a great all-inclusive week-long vacation, don't look past your backyard. Hughes River Expeditions has been Vandal-owned and operated since 1976, and they're ready to take you on the vacation of a lifetime. Enjoy a multi-day trip down the Middle Fork of the Salmon, the main Salmon River of no return, the Salmon River Canyons, or even the Selway. You can check out special trips like one to see the Perseid Meteor Shower. Camp on pristine beaches. Run amazing whitewater. hike the scenic trails, spot the wildlife, again, soak in the beautiful natural hot springs. And as always, guys, I'm always saying this, fish some of the most remote stretches of river in the entire country. Just look at these images as they're going across the screen, guys. This looks like an absolute blast. Looks a whole lot better than just freezing my butt off here in Spokane, Washington. Just bring your clothes and let HRE handle the rest. That's all you got to do. Bring the clothes. You're going to have a whole bunch of smiles like this lovely family here on the river. Just grab a paddle, catch dinner, and ride the bull all throughout the Gem State. Call them now at 406-540-4450 or check them out at HughesRiver.com. All right, guys. Back to the Martin Patty Recruits episode. Here we go. We're going to get into the actual transfers from other programs. Again, guys, the transfer portal giveth and transfer portal taketh away. We've lost some big names. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be pretty upset to see that X3 Alexander is gone. That's unfortunate. You know, Marcus Harris, hey, he graduated, but he's moved on. Armani Arnold's moved on. We've had a bunch of big names on the defense move on. Had a couple on the offense. Obviously, Javonte McCoy, Anthony Woods, Terrez Trainer, whole bunch of guys have moved on. But we got some new fresh blood coming in to hopefully kickstart things. Let's start off first with running back Nate the Great Thomas. I'm going to throw up the video here. It's on his Twitter page, Nate the Great 28. If you're interested in checking it out, I'd check it out. The guy's got an interesting story. But Martin, tell us all about it.
I'm going to let Patty serve this one because I know he sent it to me and I was just I fell in love with this tape. But Patty, what do you think about Nate?
Agreed. Yeah, no. He is a guy that I'm very excited to see. So, throwing it, he's coming in at 5'8", 210 pounds, listed by the university. He has 2 years of eligibility left, coming from the University of South Dakota. But I'm gonna throw it back to kind of his high school stats a little bit because he hasn't really gotten a ton of playing time the last 2 years. But he was an all-state running back in high school at the 7A level in Illinois. The dude rushed for 1,700 yards his junior year with almost 30 touchdowns. Dude was awesome in high school. And then he went to South Dakota, and his freshman year was 2021. He was just All-Missouri Valley newcomer. He was named to the All-Missouri Valley newcomer team as well as the All-Freshman team. He averaged 6.3 yards per carry. Had over 100 carries and 717 yards as a true freshman, 14 touchdowns as a true freshman. And then coming into the 2022 season, he tore his ACL, he tore his meniscus, and like strained two other ligaments in his knee. Gnarly knee injury, really bad. It sat him out the whole 2022 season. And then in 2023, he got kind of limited carries. He was in a loaded running back room at USD. He's behind Travis Deese, who earned all Missouri Valley honors in two different positions. He was a second team fullback and an honorable mention running back. You don't see that very often, but that was kind of an interesting thing I saw when looking at his stuff. And he was also behind Charles Pierre, who got 14 more attempts than him and played in two less games. Pierre got 14 more attempts than Thomas. Thomas rushed for just shy of 400 yards last year on 64 carries, averaging 6.2 yards per carry. He had 200 plus yard performances in 2023 that were both relatively impressive showings. His best game was against Lamar, common opponent to Idaho, common defense. He rushed 19 times for 164 yards and two touchdowns. That's where most of his film is. There's a good highlight video with a lot of tape. This is actually on the screen right now. You can really see what he shines in. He's kind of that shorter bowling ball type back that he has some really nice feet. He's built a little bit like former Vandal Andre Carter, but he's a lot quicker, I think. He's very, very quick feet. Shifts left and right really good, and he's one of those guys that's really tough because he's quick enough to kind of make you miss and shimmy and make you completely miss him, but he's big enough and strong enough to run you over, so he's tough to bring down. I think he's definitely a guy that has potential to either start some days or, you know, be the one and two running back by committee type guy with Elijah Cummings. next year, because I really like his tape. And knowing that he was not limited, but like he wasn't a first option running back for USD last year at all. You know, Travis Deese was awesome for them. So, or Tice, I think it was. I don't know. He was awesome for them. And so he was kind of the third option in the running back room, giving him the carries he needs. Anytime he got, you know, over 10 carries, he had a solid game. So I think giving him the opportunity there, he has the potential to be a really, really good running back for Vandals, and gives the Vandals an opportunity to not burn out their running back, kind of how it felt like last year with Anthony Woods at times when, you know, or like in that Weber State game when Romano took every carry in that game. So good to have depth there. And yeah, I'm really excited. I expect him to be either the one or the two next year.
I won't add too much just because I know Patty did a lot of the talking there. I do know kind of the first thing I said to Patty when he did commit to Idaho was like, what did I say? Just so I can pull up word for word what I said. Producing on the fly, as usual. I think I remember just saying, like, I like his tape. And like Patty said, like, he's going to have a great, great compliment to what Eli, what Day-Day or Matheny or Art Williams will be. I think he'll compliment well to the running backs Idaho already has.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at, again, Eli Cummings coming back, you have, again, Nate Thomas, who, Patty, as you said, blew out his knee, missed an entire season. Then he comes back in limited carries, still 64 carries, averaged 6 yards a carry, six plus a carry still. Like, still has it even after the injury. And then, again, you talk about the recruits that have come in, you know, across, honestly, the last handful of classes, but... You know, Day-Day Buchanan, we were very high on. Art Williams looks like he'd be a great, you know, smash and dash combo with them. You start looking at the depth of this running back room, and it feels a lot different than it did last year, where it was you had Woods and you had Romano, and then you had a bunch of just freshmen looking to you know, make a little bit of a mark. Feels like it's going to be a little bit different this year. That's really the big transfer in on the offensive side. Again, you know, Giovanni McCoy goes, but we all expect Jack Lane is going to get a bunch of playing time there. Jack Lane is going to be the guy, at least for the next couple of years. Again, Trainer's gone. Hatton graduates. Jackson graduates. You're looking at probably Jordan Dwyer, maybe Mark Hamper, maybe some of the other names that we've seen sprinkled onto the field over the last little bit. But a lot of the rest of the transfers guys are going to be the defense. That's what we're looking to retool here very quickly and on the fly. Starting things off, Corey Thomas Jr., defensive back, who's been around the block a little bit, started off at Eastern Michigan, transferred to Northern Iowa last year, and now is going to finish out his career as a Vandal.
I liked his kind of tape for me. I think he's going to fit well with what Coach Franks and Dan Jackson want to do on defense. That's all I kind of got. I'm sorry. I'm kind of stumbling over my words right now.
Yeah, he doesn't have a ton of tape out, but from what you see, he looks solid. I definitely think there's guys in this group here that look more impressive than him. But, you know, he played in all 11 games last year for UNI, throwing it back to where he was before UNI. He spent 4 years at Eastern Michigan, and then he kind of played sparingly. He played sparingly in 21 and 22 for them. And then he transferred to UNI, played every game for them. He looked okay. I don't think he's anything exceptionally special to like lose your mind about. He'll be a one and done guy for the Vandals. I definitely think he has a shot to rotate in. I don't know if he'll be starting. I think he's one of those guys that can earn any spot in the kind of DB room, anywhere from 2 to 5. Just depending on how camp goes with some young guys and other DB transfers, I guess I should say. He's a little bit more big and physical. You know, the 5'9", 176 doesn't lead you to think he's going to be a big tackler in the box, but there's a couple plays in this tape where he's like on goal line packages. They had him practically playing defensive end at Eastern Michigan. Why you have a 5'9", 176-pound corner basically playing defensive end in your system, I don't know. That's an Eastern Michigan question. But Yeah, I think he looks solid. He looks like a guy that can come up and tackle, which is always, you know, good to see. You need those consistent tacklers in the defense, as you can see on the video on YouTube right now. That's mostly what I got for Corey Thomas Jr.
Yeah, so guys, I'm a bit of an idiot. I think everybody here knows that. I did miss one of the transfers on the offense, so we're going to jump back to the offense before we jump back to defense, and we're just going to keep this theme going of who knows where Dallas is going to take the show, because even he doesn't know. So we're going to actually hit a semi-local product, Orion Peters, receiver from Inglewood, California. However, spent the last couple seasons in college football just across the road in Pullman, Washington. Thoughts on Orion Peters?
For me, the big thing, like when kind of watching his tape and also just kind of, I know he played very sparingly at WSU. I think like the obvious thing that'll stand out to Vandals watching his tape, he is the JJ replacement. Like there's no beating around the bush. Like he is JJ's replacement. He is fast. Like he's gonna, I'm guessing if you put them both in number one, you probably wouldn't notice a difference, maybe outside of height difference. But that's just me maybe spitballing ideas here. Like he's fast and he'll probably play quite a bit as a freshman. But a freshman he may not start, but he'll probably be playing quite a few downs this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it depends on how fall and spring go. He's a guy with the speed and the talent to definitely start, I think, at the, you know, kind of slot receiver spot. I think him and Dwyer, as well as incoming freshman Tony Harsty, will be the three slot kind of guys that will rotate in and out. I really like his game. He's really fast. Just kind of throwing it back on a little bit more background on Peters. He came out of high school, 3-star recruit. He was, you know, really, really good player. He had some big offers. Went to Wazoo, didn't really see much time. He played a little bit in his sophomore year, I believe it is, and then didn't really play much in his junior year. And so I think he might have spent 4 years at Wazoo, 3 or 4 years at Wazoo, something like that. And, you know, he has 2 years of eligibility left, which is really exciting for a guy with his type of explosiveness. Really, the only film I could find of him playing in college was a highlight tape versus Stanford, where he had a nice, like, 20-yard catch. But other than that, there's not a ton of tape on him from college. Interesting fact about him, his first career catch was against Idaho in that first game in 2022. Just kind of interesting. He's a dude with all the tools. He was like this fifth or sixth string receiver at Wazoo, so you know, he just didn't get the volume, but he has all the tools to be a really good receiver at Idaho, and I definitely expect him to get some more time. But again, I think a lot of it with Eck comes down to attitude and how you practice, considering, you know, a guy like Terrence Trainor's talent didn't play at all in 2022. You know, I definitely think that's an important thing, so you know, that'll be probably the deciding factor on who ends up starting next year at that slot receiver between the three. But yeah, we'll see. He has all the tools to be really good.
Yeah. For what it's worth, X said in there was an article in the Spokesman posted, I think it was 2 days ago, might've been yesterday, whatever it was. And sometime in the last couple of days, the Spokesman posted an article and X quote about Orion Peters was, he can hopefully pick up some of the slack left by Hayden and JJ graduating. He's real fast. We've tested some speed things over the last few weeks and he's one of the fastest players on the team. So again, speed kills, as Captain and Jason Mayer are both saying in the comments. Jason Mayer saying hard to cover the fast receivers next year. Captain 58 saying speed. If he catches on with Lane, Peters and Dwyer are going to torch defenses. Feels like that's kind of the thought here is let's just keep loading up on playmakers and speed. Speed kills. So we're going to jump around again, guys. Back over to the defensive side this time. Again, quite a handful of defensive replacements needed after seeing a fair amount transfer out. This time we've got KJ Trujillo, another cornerback. This guy coming from Colorado via Wake Forest, coming North Alabama via Wake Forest via Colorado. So going to be finishing his final season here with the Vandals.
At this point, I don't know what to expect. Like I know he didn't play too much at Colorado or Wake, and that's why he transferred to UNA. But I know he kind of has the flashiness because I remember he was kind of a highly rated recruit coming out of high school, getting those P5 offers, playing with now former Michigan State head coach Mel Tucker. But like I'm not going to be honest, there's another one I kind of forgot to watch tape on. Patty, I'll default to you on this guy, KJ.
Yeah, no, KJ's a guy I'm really excited about, and I think he has the potential to take over the number one corner spot just looking at his practice tape. As Dallas mentioned, the dude played at three different schools, two of which being P5s, and he played a decent amount at Colorado. So he started off at Colorado and actually played a decent amount. That team was just horrible. And I believe they had a coaching change. And so he transferred with the coaching change, went to Wake Forest, never saw the field. But if you look at the tape, he played that corner spot really well on tape. A really good man coverage guy that seems like a dude that can just kind of take away one receiver out of the play every down. So I'm really excited for what he brings. Just going over, he played two seasons at Colorado. He played relatively sparingly there. Then he transferred to Wake Forest, didn't really play at all at Wake Forest, then went to Northern Alabama, where he had a really, really nice year. He played almost every game, really was a lockdown corner for them. I was really impressed. He's also versatile. He can play the safety spot as well, but I kind of expect him to get or to compete for the number one corner spot here in Moscow this year. Other than that, I really think he's a plug-and-play guy. I'm excited to see. I think he's going to be the Marcus Harris replacement. You know, seeing you and I transfer versus a Northern Alabama transfer, you're going to default to, the you and I guy is probably better. But I actually really, really like KJ Trujillo's tape, and I expect him to potentially be a starter next year.
And a little bit of size difference there, too. Corey Thomas listed at 5'9", Trujillo listed at 6 feet. So you'd think just based on prototypical size, you would expect to see Trujillo probably on that outside replacing Marcus Harris a little bit more. But again, we're talking about three starting DBs left Idaho in the offseason. So there's spots to go around. New defensive coordinator Dan Jackson is going to have a hell of a time figuring out where he's going to play all these guys. Again, a guy with a lot of secondary experience. We'll get into Jackson and how he has set up his new coaching staff in the next episode. We're just going to stick with the recruits today. So talking recruits, now we got to get to the most important guys on the team, the long snappers. That's right. We got two long snappers coming in, boys. First one up, Dylan Fisher, this is an interesting one. We don't have any tape, but what we do have tape of is lifting in the weight room. So, hey, bring it to me. Bring me special teams guys that are just in there getting jacked, because that's what I want to see.
Yeah, I don't know much to say. I know I could probably try and bullshit my way through another person I don't know too much about. Like, I just know long snapping, and obviously you got to be able to snap the ball back to your punter, kicker, or holder. But it's like dude is strong. He's I know he also listed himself as a defensive athlete as well. So it's like he can play other positions outside of just long snapper. I believe it's linebacker as well, if I remember right. So maybe if he's not playing right away in long snapping, maybe he gets a little sparing playing time on special teams and kickoffs or defensive reps to give some other people a breather. But he's an athlete, not just another I don't want to say Hogan Atten, because Hogan Atten played a little linebacker too, but he's not just going to play just special teams, I would think.
So Fisher came from Alcorn State. He has 3 years of eligibility left. He spent 2 years there at Alcorn State, redshirted his freshman year, and then his redshirt freshman year, I believe he may have gotten action, but he wasn't the number one, if I'm remembering that right. I could be wrong there. I can't quite remember. He played defensive scout team last year. He was an edge guy, a DN / outside linebacker. I can't remember if they're 3-4 or 4-3. But he had a few highlights of that posted. It was kind of funny trying to figure out who he was, because he didn't highlight himself in any of the tape. And so it was just a whole bunch of guys, to try to figure it out. But I don't have a ton more to add on Fisher, because, it's just a long snapper. Long snappers matter for hashtag for the brand. I was a long snapper in high school, but there's just not a ton to add there. The whole Olympic weightlifting thing is really cool, and the powerlifting is really cool. And a guy that can play some defense in a pinch if a bunch of guys got hurt. But that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah. Again, I mean, this next comment as zero shot to Dylan, because watching him do this weightlifting is awesome, but we might have an even more interesting long snapper coming in as well. Xander Cage Eccles. And I bring up the middle name because anytime you can reference Vin Diesel in your name, I am in. So tell me, guys, what do we know about Xander Cage Eccles?
I'll stick to the non-football stuff just because Patty seems to be taught and knows more about that. But like, he has the personality. He's always replying to Vandal stuff on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. He's seems to be buying into the program, is buying into the community as well. And I'm like, if we can have a long snapper with even the half the personality that Hogan hadn't had as a long snapper, I'm all for it.
Yep. So Xander spent 3 years at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, UAB, the Blazers. That's a G5 school in Alabama. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining. He spent 1 year of his three down there at UAB as the starting long snapper. From all accounts, he did okay. He is a guy that actually runs a long snapping clinic, which is interesting to see a college player run a long snapping clinic. I've never really seen that before. Fun fact, I think it's called X Long Snapping Clinic. So apparently he's the new X. Not a ton more to add other than, like Martin was saying, he's very present on social media. He's a guy that if you follow, you're probably going to get a tweet at least 4 to 5 times a week about Idaho football. So other than that, not a ton more to add. I definitely think he'll be the starter the next 2 years. We'll see if Eck wants to do like one of the long snappers is the short snapper and one was a long snapper or something like that. If not, though, I'm expecting Xander to be the starter next year, but again, we'll see. But yeah, that's all I got.
That takes us to the final recruit we have to talk about, guys. But before we jump into that, anything else we wanted to hit about these recruits before we get into who I think, as Martin alluded to the JJ replacement, I think this is maybe the most important of the JJ replacements. He's the big name. He's the one that people are going to be most excited about. Anything we've got about the rest of these guys before we just jump right in?
I got nothing.
Nope. I think we're good to move on. Excited for this group though.
Very much excited for this group. But guys, here we go. This is maybe, again, this is my favorite piece of this class. Coming to us from another Big Sky school, an all Big Sky player, kick returner / cornerback Abraham Williams has left Weber State and has made his way to the Idaho Vandals. So you know he's going to be the kick returner, as he's one of the best kick returners in Big Sky history. Let's talk Abraham Williams coming to finish his career in Moscow, Idaho.
When I saw the announced tweet, I was like, holy shit, like this kind of player came to Idaho. I'm excited. The dude's fast. Anytime you can nab a player from a conference opponent, I'm excited to have those guys. Like he's fast. Now when the Weber State guys, when he first announced that he was leaving Weber State, like they kind of thought it'd probably go G5, P5, and I'm gonna guess those offers obviously did not come his way, but I'm excited. He's fast, and I think like Dallas said, like maybe Orion takes the speed from the offense of JJ, but then we have Abraham Williams taking up the special teams, like the kick return, punt returners. Because I am excited. I know JJ bailed us out on him more than a few times for on defense on special teams with some of those returns in like the SIU game. But man, I am excited to have him.
Yeah, me too. Abraham Williams was one of the most prolific kick returners the FCS has ever seen. He had 4 kick return touchdowns 2 years ago, I believe. He is a guy that he plays corner on defense. He's an exceptional kick returner. He's kind of an okay to good corner. You know, he wasn't an All-American corner, but he was an All-American kick returner. So like really excited for what he brings on special teams. Looking more into what he can do on the defensive side of the ball, you know, don't totally know where his role is going to be, and it just depends on how camp goes. And I keep saying that, but that's kind of how it is with these transfers, because, you know, bringing in three corners, it's hard to tell, especially with limited defensive film for all of them, like, who's going to be the one right away, two of them being, you know, guys that spent time in the FBS and then or FCS transfers, whatever. Abraham Williams is coming in at 6'1", 180. He kind of has the build to play that outside corner, you know, a Marcus Harris-ish role. That's kind of what he did at Weber State. And Weber State's one of the best secondaries in the country every year. So, I mean, I'm sure he'll play at corner starting at some point in the season. My kind of speculation, this is all speculation here, but my guess with the whole portal situation is I bet he jumped in the portal and got those big offers that he was looking for, but they would only let him kick return. And I think he came to Idaho, you know, I would expect him to have some word, knowing he probably has at least a spot in the rotation at that corner spot. So, I mean, I expect him to play a ton. He has three career picks, and he's one of the fastest straight line speed dudes the Big Sky's ever seen. You know, great to have his athleticism. Looking at his kick return stats really quick, just because I have them pulled up right here. In his career, he's averaged 34 yards per kick return. He has over 1,400 yards, five touchdowns in his kick returning, just kickoff returning career. Four of them were in 2022. Last year, he didn't get as many just because teams weren't kicking to him, and that led to great field position for Weber State all year because teams are kicking the ball out of bounds or kicking it really short so he can't get his hands on it. So, yeah, excited for what he brings both on the special team side of things and defensively.
Yeah, I mean, guys, you think about Weber State, and Rashid Shaheed was so good there for those couple of years, and obviously now he's in the NFL and it has made a pretty good impact for a Big Sky guy who was lightly recruited and lightly drafted. Just you see what Rashid Shaheed did. Rashid Shaheed never averaged 30 yards a kickoff, and Abraham Williams in 2022, 24 returns. Almost 900 yards, good for 37.42 average, and again, those four touchdowns. Last year, like you said, Patty, did not have as many opportunities, but still averaged almost 30 yards a return, 29.72. Like, this is the kind of guy that you see coming to your program and think, wow, we could really use this. Again, he scores one kickoff return touchdown, and you think, okay, hey, yep, check that box. That was a successful recruit. And like you said, Patty, one of the fastest guys that you're going to see on the field. He's probably going to come here and play corner. He's not an all-conference corner kind of guy. But when you're talking about Andrew Marshall is back, and then a bunch of guys that, again, have been recruited to play here, and hopefully they'll get their shots and play really well, but you're looking at replacing a whole bunch of spots there, you think Abraham Williams is probably going to get a little bit of that playing time. That's why he's not, again, returning for a G5 or even a P5 school. Because he probably is going to get that run at corner here. But hey, that's the thing about being at this level, is you can give some of those guys that are elite at one thing and good at others, you can give them the chance to play both of those positions and hopefully make an impact on both sides of the ball next year. With that said, gentlemen, we are almost at the hour mark. We have covered all of the new incoming freshmen, the gray shirts, the transfers in. Again, it's a bummer that we lost some guys, but hearing the things you've said about these new players, man, I couldn't be more excited for Vanda football 2024. It's coming soon. We're going to see Jack Lane take over the offense. Again, new defense led by Dan Jackson and his coaches. We'll get into that and the coaching staff changes next week. For now, go Vandals.
Go Vandals.
I don't know. Go Eagles and go Vandals. Screw you guys. Go Vandals. Go Vandals. Go Vandals. Go Vandals.